Can you hear me now?
No, because I'm muted. All right, much better. Much better.
Oh, that's good. What is thy bidding, my master?
I have some bidding for you.
Yes, I watched these movies on the plane to and from Hawaii. I watched.
Well, that's the ideal viewing environment, but...
Well, yeah. Other than when the cartoon boobs show up and I have to hide the iPad, it was fine.
That's what I'm saying. but not ideal.
No, it was fine. Nobody noticed. I had a wall of my people surrounding me.
It was not good for your children to be watching.
They weren't in our row. They were actually in it was a 2-3-2 seat configuration, so they were watching their own iPads in the next row.
All right then.
Yeah. So they saw nothing, and my wife didn't even notice that I would occasionally tilt the iPad away from her and the rest of the plane. Like, oh, okay.
Why isn't it okay for adults to watch adult entertainment why do we have to hide that? I mean, I guess if there's other kids around, but if you know there's not kids, why are we embarrassed for other adults to see?
No, that was my concern is for kids and for their parents to be aghast at that. What is he doing over there? It's art. It's art.
Yeah, so my only request for today is that we do them Perfect Blue first and Millennium Actress second.
Oh, that's your only request?
Well, I mean, I have extensive notes, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to do them in that order.
Okay, let me add... I'm going to join the chat room here, and then I'll add people in. Oh, how does this work?
You need a pop filter.
I do.
I heard your P's. Where was I hearing your P's? I was hearing your P's on Star Trek today.
My gain got turned way up, and it was bad. Although, I'm not sure how I would do the pop filter, since I don't have... If I could,
yeah, I know your bed slouching position.
It's in my lap. I don't. There's no room for a pop filter.
Ask your wife if she has some pantyhose. Just wrap them around the microphone.
I don't think that works.
I think that's all it is. That's all pop filters are.
Yeah, but you gotta have some distance so it diffuses it. You can't just like push the pantyhose over.
You
the
don't
top
know
of the
that.
Microphone. I think that's true.
Try it. Put them over your head.
Now that would work,
son. You got a panty on your head.
Yeah. Our other club members are here.
That was Raising Arizona, Jason.
Hello.
I've seen that.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yay.
Little people's icons aren't showing up. Who is here besides Lisa?
Tony.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hello. There's some names. There you go.
Yeah, I don't see icons for anyone but Jason yet, but...
He's got a pop filter in his picture.
I know. He's very, very professional. I trust you're all there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I took that picture in the podcast studio at the office. Here I got nothing.
Mm. All pop. No filter.
See?
Pop
filter.
All right.
Pop filter.
Mm-hmm. Just pop goes the filter.
Yeah. All right, so I guess I should turn on the thing.
Trying to see if I can get my microphone to go up any higher.
Oh, that would be nice.
It would, wouldn't it? Oh, is the volume funky?
No, it sounds okay. It's just that sometimes you sound a little far away.
It's this. I have the blue snowball, and the way our office is set up right now, I have to prop up the snowball on top of my MacBook and then lean in to talk to the microphones. So every once in a while, if I get excited or engaged or uncomfortable, I move back again.
Right.
Hey.
Hi. Skype quit unexpectedly.
Dope. Mm-hmm.
I can still hear you.
I restarted it.
Oh, you came back. Oh,
I came back.
There we go.
Okay.
Syracuse. Mm-hmm.
Yep. John is here. He is our ringleader.
Yes.
Okay. I think we need to begin recording.
Okay.
So everybody should begin recording and then say recording.
as recording.
To help you sync up, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Let's see.
And so we have recordings.
Recording.
Yay.
Recording.
You're always recording, John.
I am. I just like to say it.
Recording. Hello.
There's one lonely person in the chat room, and he says, huh, there's an incomparable.
Yeah, that's Calibellus. He's always in the chat room. And Ben Wu. Ben Wu is in the chat room, too. Ah.
Tell us your secrets, guys. Why are you always in the chat rooms?
The same reason I always am.
Why
idling
not?
In IRC is a proud tradition at the internet age.
Yes.
You just leave the window open, and you're always in it.
I can't even.
Yeah.
The computer just sits there, and it idles for you. You
okay.
don't even have to be in front of the computer.
The computer does all the idling.
That's right.
Oh my gosh, I've just started getting followed by a bunch of objectivists. This can't be good.
Yeah, well, following Glenn is like that. Ha! Oh.
Ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-bum.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to talk about Millennium Actress and Perfect Blue. We're going to talk about Perfect Blue first, right, John?
That's right.
Because you need to do it chronologically.
Or something like that.
And John is going to, right? That's chronological.
It is. You're right.
It is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. John is going to lay some facts on us. It's really all about
that.
It's really all about John telling us what to do. So.
So like, start.
I guess we should go. Yeah. I guess we should go.
A slave driver. Jeez.
Yeah, I know. I got to push lots of buttons at this end. I just got to make sure. All right. I can't believe you don't like comic books. No, I actually
can't. I'm reading one now. I'm reading my very first comic book.
As Lisa will
you just haven't found the right comic book.
No, I told you, I finally have found, apparently, the comic book that's going to make me read the whole thing, and I'm reading it all.
What
is that? You already did the podcast about it. You did the podcast about Lock and Key.
Oh,
and
Lock and Key.
I figure I'll get that.
I tried to get Lock and Key. It's out of print right now. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, I don't buy paper. Come on.
Yeah, digital.
I know.
But
I do for comics.
But John, what?
If John had digital gloves, he'd smack you with them.
Wait, that's right.
I like
a
to
white
be able to
digital
lend
glove.
People.
The what Lisa would probably tell you, because she recommended this book to me, is having read Understanding Comics by Scott McCloud.
I know all about Understanding Comics.
You know, the difference, John, is the space between the panels.
Yeah.
Instead of 24 frames
play,
per second.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I love trying to talk to you like you're illiterate. It's hilarious. Anyway. Oh, John, you also didn't let us watch the dub of Perfect Blue, which is available, apparently.
I know, but I'm trying to, like, it's got to, we have to stretch yourself a little bit, Jason. It's not too,
I
think it's too much to
ask. I enjoyed it, although afterward I found that I actually kind of want to watch it again with the dub, because I'm kind of fascinated to see what they did with it, since I watched it with the subtitles, just to see what, it would be a fascinating comparison.
Yeah, like Tony said, what you really need to have is, to get the real experiences, fan subs really came into their own on the internet, where the fan subs became superior to the official subs, because the fan subs would, A, be more accurate
sometimes.
Translations, and B, they would have, like, you know, basically footnotes or explanations to give you tremendous amount of background to understand. Like, they would do, when they do a sub, they won't do a literal translation, because they'll know, oh, if I literally translate it, it makes no sense to Westerners. But the fan subs will literally translate it and then explain to you why this is not nonsense. Why? And then you're like, oh, that's how
though,
you know.
One of my first kind of immersions into anime was watching fan subs of Neon Genesis Evangelion, which
is doesn't make
giant,
any sense, no matter how you
which
it.
Is, but the fan subs were not, I mean, I think they were kind of rushed, and they were not very well done, and my favorite thing was that they would have, like, a 5-second frame at the start of each episode with literally full screen of text, which was basically commentary from the fan sub, or basically saying, like, okay, I think I got it figured out. Here's what this show is about. That stuff I said before, wasn't right.
Forget it.
But it was only on the screen for about 5 seconds, and I was watching these at an anime club. So you'd get like 5 seconds of that, and then the episode would start, and you'd be like, I still don't quite get what that show is about, but I really enjoyed it, and I've seen it about 8 times.
I found myself wanting to compose better English lyrics for the Cham songs.
don't listen
those English lyrics are terrible.
Songs are the worst, because what can they do? Like, you have to fit it in. Like, you have
in
the
meter,
song is what
right.
the song, right, and then it just becomes nonsense.
Remember when we met in the many, and you can hear that the only words in English in the entire song are like, four seasons, and then it's back to Japanese. And yet the translation is this strange, remember when I saw you in the spring, we wore onions on our belts, as was the tradition at the time, right? It's like, what? I don't know what's going on. So I would sort of be fascinated to see how they did that. I presume that the Cham songs are just, you know, sound Japanese.
I think they do English on them.
Oh boy, I can't even imagine how terrible that must be.
It's not good. Like, that's the other thing with dubs. Unless the movie is super duper duper famous, you do not get A-list voice talent, right?
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's actually not like... this reminds me of a point in Perfect Blue is we were talking about the style. The vocal styles I thought were interesting because the one lady actress who plays the detective and is very calm and cool and collected has this very deep, very smooth, very melodious voice. And so do Mima's band members who aren't having any sort of existential crisis or breakdown. But Mima has a fairly high-pitched voice and so does her manager. And I was wondering if those tonal differences were supposed to convey a state of emotional health.
I feel like that there are types for the voices in the movies too. And that's another thing the Millennium Actress did so well, is mostly going away from type. Although I think they had three different voice actresses do her voice.
Yes, for her age, yeah.
Right, but for the you know the high pitched squeaky kind of, you know, anime girl. That's a type, and that's what they used for Mima, which kind of fits because she's kind of that age or whatever. Right. But the older one is like it's like Kathleen Turner all of a sudden. It's like, oh, you have the squeaky little mouse here, and then you have, you know, the chain smoking lady who's seen it all and who's, you know, completely accomplished or whatever. Rumi, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know if she falls neatly into a type that all the other characters do, but she's not as high pitched as Mima, but she is like more frantic. Like, this is the thing I don't want to know. Like, if I ever understood Japanese, I feel like I would know how bad sometimes the actual voice performances are for these movies that I love. And I don't want to know. I just want to imagine they're all Meryl Streep and Daniel Day-Lewis. I've got that, by the way, if you want me to send that track to you.
I think you said it. I think that was our bonus for completing the movie, was we got to listen to the MP3 of the Cham song.
There you go.
Yeah,
I also have the Millennium Actress soundtrack, which is all instrumental, but the wonderful thing about the Millennium Actress soundtrack is it has the CD itself has a picture of Chiyoko curled up wearing a kimono, like in a circle shape on the disc. It's one of my favorite disc covers. I think I have a scan of that somewhere. I'll send that to you.
All right.
You can look at a picture of my music CD. What do you think of that?
I can't wait. I can't wait to listen to what I imagine the music would sound like of something that had that as the cover. I can't wait.
Realistic expectations is what's gotten Jason through his life so far.
So far.
Don't go with the A, son. Just be happy with the B.
Yeah. Well, no, Lisa's getting the A. We already established that.
She's such a teacher's pet.
Yeah.
Oh, stop. I was very moved by Millennium Actress. I was not expecting to be. And instead I thought, oh my God, this is fantastic. This is, it's got like that Atonement. Have you guys seen the movie Atonement?
No.
Where? Well, it's a boring prestige picture, and not to ruin it for you, but it involves a twist at the end.
Yes,
and
I've heard,
Yeah, and there's a twist. What a twist! And this has a similar twist, but it's done in a much more poignant way. And I thought this was written with a lot more heart than Perfect Blue. I think that Perfect Blue is more of an intellectual exercise, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, like, these aren't separated by that many years, 97, 2001, but it just totally feels like young man's movie, a more mature man's movie. Like,
now I want to go watch Paprika, or Paprika, however you want to say that.
That would be more of an insane man's movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah, okay.
Paranoia Agent. If you have to pick one other for Lisa, anyway, Paranoia Agent is not a movie. It is extremely weird. If you like Paranoia Agent, you'll probably like Paprika. If you don't, then you won't. But Millennium Actress is so weird because like I recommend it to people, and some people are like, oh my God, I love it. It does not mean that they will like any other anime ever, in my experience. Right. It just means that this movie got them. Mm-hmm. But
it's a good story.
Just so unlike anything. It's kind of like Studio Ghibli. Like, if you like, I almost don't categorize that as anime. Well, yeah, if you like Studio Ghibli, maybe you like Wonderful Things. But may not mean that you're going to be an anime. You might just be a Studio Ghibli fan.
Right. I ordered the... I have pre-ordered my Totoro Blu-ray, by the way.
Yep. I got to get those two. When are they going to do Kiki? I have Nausicaa and Castle in the Sky already.
I imagine it'll happen now.
They're doling them out. But
very
some,
slowly.
For some reason, it's like, don't you realize? Just put them all out at once. We'll buy them.
Yeah,
and
they claimed again that it was a new dub track, but it's not a new dub track. It's still Ellen Dakota Fanning. So that's new in the sense that it's not the original dub track.
But. Oh, God. I got the official U.S. Arietti with the English track. My family had only been watching the Japanese one.
Right.
And the English one, it's not good. They changed the music. They changed things they should not have changed.
All right, I should get that because I like that movie, and I saw it in the American theater, so I saw the English track. But
the Japanese, I mean, it's what you get used to. But it's like I don't like it when they change the musical accompaniment in addition to changing the voices. That's just wrong. It's the same type of thing where there's a song with lyrics and there's English lyrics and Japanese lyrics, and the English lyrics are not good.
Yeah,
and the Japanese lyrics are probably awful as well. But I don't know that.
Shame. All right, this was great. Thanks, everybody.
Awesome. Have a good night, guys. Cool.
Good night. Send me your files.
All right.
Please, I beg you.
Bye.
Good
night.